Amen. How many of you know that December 25th, we celebrate the birth of Christ? You know, you didn't know that, right? No, you didn't know it then. Well, it wasn't just Christ that was born. There was so much more that was born with him. And we don't think about it. You know, we focus on him being born, and there's nothing wrong with that. That should be our focus. But sometimes that gets lost in all the presents and the decorations and all of that stuff. You know, and we need to be able to just knife right through that and let the main thing stay the main thing. Okay. But I found out, it's funny, you know, sometimes you find out things by accident, so to speak. You're studying one thing and you come across something else. Okay. I was preparing for a prayer service. And I was reading 2 Timothy. And out of all the times that I read it, I noticed something for the very first time. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, I exhort therefore. I never paid attention to therefore. But I remember Pastor Clinton always saying, if you see the word therefore, go back and find out what it's there for. So in my quest to find out what it was there for, I said, well, let me read 1 Timothy. So I started reading 1 Timothy, and I got down to verse 18, and I was reading it in the Passion Translation. But 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19, in the Passion Translation. But it's Christmas, I know. I'm going to show you. It says, so Timothy, my son, I am entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry in keeping with the prophecies, say the prophecies, spoken over you. With this, now listen to this, with this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons, Jesus, as you wage spiritual warfare by faith and with a clean conscience. And I said, wait a minute. Yes. The words spoken over me by God are weapons? Yes, sir. The words that God spoke about me and concerning me are weapons to be used in spiritual warfare. And I read that, and I'm in my office. I'm doing my little chair dance, you know, and I'm like, and then I started thinking about every word that I can recall that was ever spoken over me. And I said, those are weapons. Those are weapons. And God said, now I'm going to show you how that ties into Christmas. And I'm not going to give it to you I'm not going to give you all that he gave me, because we'll be here too long today. Okay? But in 2 Corinthians 10, New Life Version, verses 3 and 5, it says, it is true, we live in a body of flesh, but we do not fight like people of the world. We do not use those things to fight with that the world uses. We use the things God gives to fight with, and they have power. The things God gives to fight with destroy the strong places of the devil. So that means every word that God has ever spoken about you, concerning you, over you, is more than enough to destroy any plan that the devil had for your life. Any plan. Whenever we receive a word from God, it's like a prophecy. And we can take it and use it and run through anything that shows up. Anything that shows up. Because you keep saying to yourself, but God said. Or I know God said. Or it is written that God said. whatever that word is, and you grab it and you hold on to it, no matter what comes, you go through it. And you go through it without complaining, without murmuring, without worry. Because God said so. Period. That's all that matters. When God said that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have a son, Zechariah wanted proof. He wanted a sign. One translation I was reading said, you want a sign? You're not going to be able to speak. That's the sign. And I realized that when God speaks a word to you, don't open your mouth in unbelief. It's better that you say nothing, because you'll say words that will complicate things. God's word is still, what God said is still going to happen, but now you're going to have to go through much more than he intended, because you spoke some things. So Zechariah had to keep his mouth closed. And then when John was born, and they said, you know, they asked the mother, what's the name going to be? And she said, John. And they're like, John? You mean Zechariah, right? She said, no, he'll be called the name John. And so they just dismissed her and went to the father. He said, what's his name going to be? He said, John. Broke tradition, because they said, there's nobody in our family with that name. God said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. Which means God is a gracious giver. What was John the Baptist's message? God is a gracious giver. Come to God. He loves you. And Zechariah and Elizabeth couldn't concern themselves with what people might think about the name that was chosen for their son, because, quite frankly, the people didn't have any power to cause them to have a child. It was God who said it. It was God who provided the power. And so they were going with what God said, and they didn't care what other people said. Well, there's a parallel to that, to the birth of Christ. There were people, you start reading through the Bible, you'll see people who did things, who didn't pay attention to laws or traditions, because they had a promise of the Messiah coming. And they ordered their life after that. And they didn't care what anyone had to say about it. So when you get down, go to Luke 1, please. I'm still in the Passion Translation. Verse 26. It says, during the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, and this was key, and I had never really paid attention to it before, a true descendant of King David. A true descendant, that means direct bloodline. Gabriel appeared to her and said, grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and you are anointed with great favor. Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. That's one thing. He said, you will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. Second thing, he will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit. And Mary said, but how could this happen? I'm still a virgin. Now, this had nothing to do with, you know, with her being modest. There were very strict rules during those times. You know, they didn't have programs to watch. Like, you weren't 16 and pregnant, you know, during those times. You know, if an engaged woman who was never married was found with child, the next thing she was found was stoned to death. Mary never asked, what am I supposed to do about this? What are the people going to think about me? What are my parents going to think? What am I going to tell Joseph? Because I can, yeah, I may be able to hide it for the first couple of months, but he gonna know. She didn't think about all of those things because she was thinking about what the angel said to her. And I'm going to read on and you'll see it. Gabriel answered, the spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, that's kind of like therefore, you know. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her 6 months. And I said, well, why did he tell her that? He was reassuring her that miracles do happen. Because your aunt is now pregnant, has been pregnant for the past 6 months. Verse 37. Not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, say nothing, is impossible with God. See, that's why Mary didn't express a concern about all these other issues, because God told her what was going to happen. And she says, according to the Passion Translation in verse 38, Mary responded saying, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, and this is what's key, folks, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel left her. Now think about, how many of you have children? How many of you have your daughters? Okay, if your daughter's unmarried and she comes walking to you and she says, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. What are you going to say? Are you going to say glory to God in the highest? Mary didn't think about those things. What are the townspeople going to say? It's going to start out, Mary gained a little weight. Then all of a sudden said, man, you need to do some ab crunching. And next thing you know, Mary's pregnant. And what about Joseph? You know, people can be very cruel. Everybody's not like you folks. You know, and Joseph's friends were probably ragging on him. And on her. She didn't think about any of that. Or if she did, the Bible didn't feel it was important enough to place in it. Because she had a word spoken over her, about her, concerning her, directly from God. And if God said this was going to happen, then first of all, she was going to have a son. Secondly, nothing was going to happen to her, and nothing was going to happen to her son. Because the fulfillment of what God said had not happened. So all that was important to Mary was that God said, I'm going to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have his son, and I'm going to name him Jesus. And anything else concerning that, God has to work out. And she went to Think about it. She went to visit her aunt. And when you read it in the Bible, it's like she was walking next door to the shops of Nanuet. When you study that out, you find that she traveled about 90 miles walking. Some articles said it's possible maybe she found a caravan going in that direction. But 90 miles, and I saw an estimate where it said during that time, folks usually walked 2.5 miles a day. 2.5 miles, you're going 90 miles. Okay. And you're pregnant. And I'm sure she experienced at least some of the things that folks experience in their early pregnancies. Now, that's what I've heard because I've never been pregnant. And as I told the folks on Wednesday, I think, but I have had food cravings. But walking 90 miles outdoors in the elements, we'll talk about the things that were going on outside while she was walking. But she just got up and left. She didn't care. She's going to walk. She said spent 3 months with her aunt. Walked back. Now she's got to talk to Joseph. Didn't care because she had a word. There was prophecy spoken over her. And she knew that that prophecy was true. And it didn't matter to her the details. She didn't care what people might think. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." That's how she responded to God's messenger. That's how we need to learn to respond to God's messenger. Matthew 1. There's so much more. It wasn't just the birth of Christ. Some more things were born because of the prophecy of Christ and the fulfillment of Christ. So many things, when he was birthed, so many other things were birthed with him. In Matthew 1, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble." I learned you can be upset and still act dignified. All right. "Determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke to him in the dream, 'Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins.' This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us." Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. Folks, this explained to me that Joseph didn't refuse to consider, or he didn't choose to just be noble because it was just a good thing to do. God reminded him. Now remember, he was a direct descendant of the house of David. Direct, there was no break in the bloodline. He was a direct descendant from the house of David. Well, there was a prophecy. Go back to Isaiah 7. There was a prophecy given to the house of David. In Isaiah 7. Verse 13, King James Version. said, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, as a member, in those days, children didn't grow up not knowing anything about their family history. The children didn't grow up not knowing anything about what their family stood for, what the family's name meant. Amen. It wasn't like that then. It's like that now, and that has to change, but it wasn't like that then. So that means that Joseph had to have been told of the prophecies concerning his family. One of those prophecies was that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and so call his name Emmanuel. So all the angel was really doing was reminding him, James, of what the prophet said to his family years before his birth. And it had to, as we say, it had to bear witness with him, because that brought him peace. Because he was wondering, how do I get out of this without disgracing her? And the answer was simple. Marry her. Joseph didn't care what his friends would say. He didn't care. Now, you're Joseph's parents. And Joseph comes to you and says, Mother, Father, I have to tell you something. I just had a talk with Mary, and she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. And I still plan to marry her. And that's all he gets out, because then they start talking. What do you mean? And she's this and she's that and she's this and she is, she is, she is, she is, she is, she is. No. Joseph did what the Lord told him to do. He married Mary. Took her to be his wife. And you think, okay, everything's going to be nice and calm from that point on. They're going to go through the pregnancy. Jesus is going to be born. Everything, they have the place ready. They have the, you know, they have the kids' room. Everything's in place. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. That means every place where you were born, you had to go back and be counted and taxed accordingly. Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went there to be taxed. And he had to go there with his wife, who the Bible says was great with child. Here again, this isn't like just going into Manhattan. This is like going up to the Poconos. It's an 80-mile trip. And once they got to one, the first leg of it was 80 miles. And then after the first leg, they had another 26 miles to go. And your wife is great with child. I guess that means they're deliver any day. All right. Very close. Yeah. But think about this. They're not in a Lexus. They walk in. Okay. Uphill. During the winter. The days were 30 degrees and rainy. The nights were freezing. How many of you know that donkeys don't always do what you want them to do? So the donkey had to set the pace. That's it. Normally they do two and a half miles. Well, she's pregnant and has a donkey. How fast are they moving? But let's say they get past that. They had special clothes to wear to try and keep them warm, and they were heavy, these woolen garb that they had. But guess what? They didn't travel on well-lit roads with police officers on patrol. Where they went through the Jordan River Valley, like where the Lower Hudson Valley, the Jordan River Valley was known for lions and bears and wild boar. It was also known for those two-legged animals, criminals, robbers, muggers. Joseph never said, what are we going to do about these people? How are we going to get through? What are we going to do when it's cold? They had to pack their food with them. This amazed me. For breakfast, they had dried bread. For lunch, they had dried bread dipped in oil. What do you think they had for dinner? Bread, oil, and some herbs. Because they're taking for this trip that's going to take days, not hours. So they're not eating a lot of, I'm sure that's not what they planned. They planned, she's pregnant, we're going to be here, mama can do the cooking, we're going to eat well, she's going to sleep well. But then they get through that trip. And they wind up now in Bethlehem. They think, okay, good. We can take a bath. We can get some food, get in a comfortable bed. And they get there and they find out no room at the inn. Bible doesn't say that Mary said, God, I thought you told me. No, he did tell her. And because he said the baby will be born and this is the name you're going to give that child, then it didn't matter what the conditions were. You and the child and your husband were going to be fine. Why? Because God said so. And that's all you need to know. God said so. So the total distance that they traveled one way was 106 miles. 106 miles. And they're pregnant. But because, again, there was no room. There was not one person throughout Bethlehem which said, I'll give up my seat so that you could sit down. Not one. Not one said, okay, I know I have a reservation, but you guys need it more than I do. No, there were no room. No rooms available. So they went to a manger. Like a garage for the animals. Verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days that were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped them in swaddling clothes and laid them in a manger because there was no room at the inn. Swaddling clothes were really like bandages that you wrapped. Well, I look at it this way. Most presents come wrapped. Okay. Yes, they use them for the animals, and sometimes they use them if they needed to immobilize. They didn't want the baby to move for whatever reason. They just wrapped them in swaddling cloths. Yeah. I'm sure that wasn't on her list. You know, that register that you put at the stores, I'm sure swaddling cloth wasn't on there. Okay. But again, she didn't care because there were shepherds in the field. And an angel came to the shepherds, verse 9, and says, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you. So he's speaking a word to the shepherds. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now think about that. This isn't in my notes. This just dropped in. The heavenly hosts were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That heavenly angel was telling mankind how they're supposed to live. Giving God glory will cause peace on earth and giving goodwill to all men. When things come up and you know, these ugly words surface, glory to God in the highest. And then you'll notice there will be peace.
Yes, sir.
And people will start treating each other better because there will be goodwill to all men.
Yes.
See, that prophetic word is a weapon that was birthed when Jesus was birthed. And it says that the shepherds came in haste. And I'm like, what about their flocks? So apparently somebody had to stay and watch the flocks. And it doesn't say because they were shorthanded, rustlers came along. And it doesn't say that they gave a lot of thought to it. They said, we're going to go and see our Savior. Amen. Period. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon went through his life not concerned about what may befall him, because it was spoken to him, you are not going to die until you see the Savior. So he had to go through his life with peace. Didn't matter what happened. You're not going anywhere until you see the Savior. And it said, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, which is circumcised, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now letteth thy servant depart in peace according to thy words, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But it doesn't just stop there. There's so many accounts in there that talks about the wise men, where Herod questioned them at some location. He said, when you find them, let me know. I want to come and worship him. Well, he was lying. He wanted to come and kill him. But the wise men listened to the Holy Ghost and went back a different way. And they didn't talk about, well, you know, we need to go on the witness protection program. Because when Herod finds out that we left and didn't tell him, he's going to be too mad with us. They didn't care. They see the Christ child. They bring their gifts. And they go back whatever way that the Lord directs them. And they're not thinking about Herod. But Herod is thinking about him and them. And he was upset when he found out that the wise men duped him. And what he did is he had all the boys aged 2 and under killed. But Joseph was told to go into Egypt with his family. So he did what God said. He didn't go back to Bethlehem. He may have wanted to, but God said, go to Egypt. He went to Egypt. Even though all of those children were killed, and that was tragic, Psalm 91 comes into mind. 1,000 may fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. When you do what God tells you to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, we think God's protection is that people come and attack you, and all of a sudden it's like God goes, and people just fall out. You know what the best protection is from God? Obedience. You do what he says, and you'll have what he says. When Herod was dead, he told Joseph, okay, now you can go back to Nazareth. And throughout all of that, Joseph and Mary, it seems like their attitude was like, okay, okay, okay. Not thinking about the things most people would think about. Because when most people think about those things, you know what it does? It causes you to get into disobedience, which is really, when you think about it, we don't like the word, but it's rebellion. When you don't do what God's telling you to do, you're rebelling against him. I mean, that's just the way it is. But they'd have a reason. I can't go now because my wife is pregnant. God's like, you telling me? I'm the one that impregnated her. I can't go now because it's the wrong season. We'll go when the weather's warm. I can't go now because during this time, you know, the crime statistics are higher. You know, let's wait, let the people go, and then we can ease in on the backside of it. I can't go now because we can only afford one donkey. Mary has to ride on that donkey, and who do you think has to pull all the other things? So let's, this is a two donkey trip, God. Okay, at least. And I need to find some men to come along with me so they could tend to the donkey while I tend to Mary because she's pregnant, just in case you've forgotten. No, they didn't think of any of those. All they thought about, God said Mary was going to become pregnant by the Holy Ghost. God said she was going to bear his son. God said, call his name Jesus. God said, go. So I went. That was his attitude. Because he had a prophet, he had a prophetic word, and he understood there was power. See, it was more, love was born Christmas Day. Hope was born. Mercy was born. Trust and faith were born. Power was born. The ability for us to believe the prophetic words of God was birthed. Because if you believe that Jesus was born, you have to believe, or you should also believe, or along with that you believe, that everything Jesus was sent here to do, he did. God said he will save his people from their sins. Bible tells us the reason that Jesus was manifested was to undo and destroy all the works of the devil. There's one translation that says he came to liquidate the works of the devil. I can't help it, but I like that word because... Pray for me. One of the meanings of that word is to kill. You liquidate. You just kill. Kill it, all its works, liquidate it. Remember the movie The Wizard of Oz? Said, oh, you liquidated her, huh? Of course, they were talking about the water splashing on the Wicked Witch. But all this means, I should say, what the birth of Christ means, one of the things the birth of Christ means is we can do exactly what God tells us to do. And nothing has the power to stop us. If our mindset is, we're going with what God said. Period. That's why in the garden, Jesus said, not my will, but yours. Gabriel told Mary, and what he told her is true today. Not one promise from God is empty of power. Not one. Because all things are possible with God. That's what I think. When I think about Christmas, I'm thinking about all things are possible with God. I'm thinking that every word God has spoken concerning me will come to pass. So I'm not going to be concerned. It lifted my spirits. It lifted my shoulders. It straightened my back. You don't walk around, but when you bug about something, most people don't walk around thinking like this. They're like, oh, Lord, what's going to happen with this and that? No, it's like, hey, God, this is what you said. This is what's going to happen. Done. No word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. And it's been proven. Because if it wasn't so, we wouldn't be having Christmas. The reason we have Christmas is because God's word is true. And you have to believe it if you want it to work for you. So enjoy the love. Remember the birth. But remember along what came, just the baby is and what came out of that womb. What came out of that womb was all the power that you'll ever need to do everything that God told you to do was also birthed. All the hope you'll ever need, all the trust you'll ever need, whatever's necessary to take you through to the end of what God declared for you was born Christmas Day. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. That's a prophetic word that was spoken, and that's our weapon against some of the nonsense that's going on in this world. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Savior, the Prince of Peace. And he's yours. And he's yours. So have we had challenges in our lives? Yes. Have things come up? Yes. Have things been horrible? Yes. But you're still here. You survived. You're going through. It may not be comfortable. I'm sure what rainy, 30-degree weather is not comfortable. But you go through it because you're thinking about what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. And you don't focus on anything else. When I told you one of my training regimes was I'd run on the beach from beach 60, Beach 160-something Street down to Beach 41st Street. I'd run on the sand near the boardwalk. I didn't think about, oh, I got this run. It's about X amount of this. No. I saw myself performing in basketball games. I saw myself not getting tired. And I didn't care about the run. I had a length of pipe about this big to put a strap on it to my wrist, not for balancing. That was for the dogs that were under the boardwalk. Again, some four-legged, some two-legged. But I didn't. I just thought about what I saw myself doing. I wasn't in Christ then. Now I have to make myself think about the things that God said. And no matter what happens, I got to see myself doing them, because those were prophetic words spoken, and they have power. So your life is not over, and you are far from finished, because the prophecy concerning you has not yet been fulfilled. So you need to know what God said. Do yourself a favor. Write it down. Make it part of your... I have nothing against devotionals, but Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I believe you'd be better off reviewing the words that Jesus said to you. You know, if you have to choose between one or the other, go with the words that Jesus said to you and meditate on those words, because those words are spirit and those words are life. Amen. I'm going to unhook. But I want you to remember what we read. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. I want to just read that again. First Timothy verse 18 and 19. So Timothy, my son, I'm entrusting you with this responsibility. In keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry, in keeping with the prophecies spoken over you. With this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons as you wage spiritual warfare by faith and with a clean conscience. So you just have to remember, God, you said, and keep going. And keep going. How can you do that? My God said, keep going. Nobody's ever done that. My God said. And stop looking at what you have. God does not give us assignments based on what we have. He gives us assignments based on what he has for us. So if he gave you the assignment, he has everything you need. If he gave you the assignment, you'll have everything you need. But get out of the habit of needing to see it before you get started. He sent Abraham to Mount Moriah. What was waiting for him at Mount Moriah? A ram. If he'd gone any other mountain, guess what wouldn't have been there? And God would have had to do something else concerning his son. When you go where God tells you to go, you'll have everything you need. And I'm going to unhook again. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time of the year where we celebrate the birth of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we're learning it's more than just the birth of your Son, but everything that we need to have life and have it more abundantly was also birthed along with Jesus, because all of the things that we need are available in Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, that the reason for this season turns into the reason for our life is that Jesus was born. And everything that you said, every word of prophecy that you spoke concerning him was fulfilled and is being fulfilled. And we get comfort in that because we know that that has to mean every word of prophecy you've spoken about us individually and corporately as a church will come to pass because you said so. So we're staying steady and we're watching you work. We're watching you unfold everything in the fullness of your time in your due season. And we're going to keep resting knowing that we're right smack in the middle in the middle of your perfect will. And we're going to be comfortable with that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.